Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Thursday morning, September 22nd, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host out here in the desert of Arizona. Excuse me. And it was an awesome 66 degrees this morning. So needless to say, all the windows are open. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to close back up by around 10 o'clock. But it feels so nice having fresh air blowing through the house. And especially in Arizona, of all places, I am definitely ready for summer to be over and fall to start. Don't get me wrong. As hot as it gets, I love the summers in Arizona. I love the fact that you can swim something like 8 months out of the year here or more, especially if you've got a heated pool. Mine is not. Mine is an above ground. And unfortunately, I'm at a point I'm going to need to drain it all the way down and clean it out. I have a neighbor, and I don't blame the neighbor. I actually need a cover for the pool. One that'll stay on. The one that ships with it won't stay on. Not in out here in Vail, Arizona. It's too windy out here. So unless you've got something hard clamped on to the frame of the pool, it's going. You're gonna lose it, and it's gonna end up in a neighbor's yard. Your cover. So unfortunately, his mesquite tree has tended to shed into my pool, and I keep trying to get it cleaned out, keep it cleaned out, but I just need to put a good cover on it. But it is nice to have something like that. So I do like it. And I love the fact that, you know, we have sun 320 some days out of the year. One, it's great for solar. I wish I had more roof real estate to put more solar up there, but I don't. But I'm looking at alternatives. But definitely is wonderful. But I'm definitely ready for fall. That is for sure. Even if down here we don't have the color changes, we do have them up in the mountains. And it's not that necessarily that far to travel to go see them if we want to. But sometimes I miss the color changes. Being born in Alabama and most of my family being from the Southeast, you kind of miss that after a while. So anyways, I am running a little late this morning, so let's go ahead and jump straight in and get to our reading. Again, this is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God. We also read some prayers out of Valley of Vision. It's a grouping of Puritan prayers, and we read a daily devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Those have been things that have been very helpful to me in my walk, and that is my hope for this podcast, that through the public reading of Scripture, the prayers and the devotion, that it is helpful for your walk, and for those that are unsaved, it helps to prepare you for the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring you to a point of regeneration, to remove that heart of stone that we all had prior to being saved, and replaces it with a heart of flesh that can be shaped by the Word of God. So let's go ahead and get rolling. So as is our regular practice, on each day, the first two prayers we're going to do from Valley of Vision are resting on God and grace in trials. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the fifth day morning, Thursday being the fifth day of the week, fifth day morning, it's called the Giver. Creator, upholder, and proprietor of all things, we cannot escape from thy presence and control, nor do we desire to do so. Our privilege is to be under the agency of thy omnipotence, righteousness, wisdom, patience, mercy, and grace. For thou art love with more than parental affection. We admire thy goodness, stand in awe of thy power, abase ourselves before thy purity. It is this discovery of thy goodness alone that can banish our fear, allure us into thy presence. Help us to bewail and confess our sins. We review our past guilt and are conscious of present unworthiness. We bless thee that thy steadfast love and attributes are essential to our happiness and hope. Thou hast witnessed to us thy grace and mercy in the bounties of nature, in the fullness of thy providence, in the revelations of Scripture, in the gift of thy Son, in the proclamation of the gospel. Make us willing to be saved in thy own way, perceiving nothing in ourselves, but all in Jesus. Help us not only to receive him, but to walk in him, depend upon him, commune with him, follow him as dear children, imperfect but still pressing forward, not complaining of labor, but valuing rest, not murmuring under trials, but thankful for our state. And by so doing, let us silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. All right, hang on a second. I'm going to get a sip of coffee here. Oh, oh, that's so good. That is my Black Rifle Just Decaf. Yeah, it's a little tough. I'm very, very used to decaf. Started drinking coffee when I was in the Navy and have been doing so for over 30 years. And believe me, Navy coffee, woo, it'll grow hair on your head, even if you're bald. But I've just hit a point where my blood pressure won't take it anymore. But I'll tell you what, the Black Rifle Just Decaf, whew, they tell you, I've seen it before with coffees and stuff. They tell you all these flavors you should taste. And half the time, while I may like the coffee, I don't really taste the flavors they talk about. Oh yeah, with the Just Decaf, it's got a hint of mocha, and you can taste that. And it's a nut, and I can't remember which nut it was on the package, but there's also a lingering taste of a nut, and it is so, so good. Even black, I tend to put a little bit. I use monk fruit. I try to, since I need to deal with my weight, I tend to use a monk fruit and use a sugar-free sweetener, and as natural a one as I can. And I don't really like honey in my coffee. In my tea, yes. In my coffee, no. So, but anyways, great cup of coffee. I would definitely recommend it. No, I'm not sponsored by them. And I use Black Rifle because it is a veteran owned and operated company. They actually put in a new one. I just got notification of a new coffee shop, Black Rifle Coffee Shop up in Phoenix. So if I'm up there, I may have to check that out. But anyways, so we are now going to go on to our morning devotional. It's again from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. And I should have said before the prayers, but I'll say now. I've got links. Wow, can't talk this morning. I've got links in the show notes to everything I'm reading today where you can see it online. But I've also got links in there to where you can go get hard copies. And I would definitely encourage you to get hard copies. And I'll confess, I do not have a hard copy of the Legacy Standard Bible yet. But I want to have one. And the reason we read in the Legacy Standard Bible, it is that translation is the newest. That's not really my big push, but in being the newest and in the research I've done into it, it is the most texturally accurate to the original documents that we have, or the earliest documents we have from the Bible. So now we're going to get into our devotional. Again, this is the September 22nd morning article of Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. And our scripture for this devotion is Psalm 149:2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Be glad of heart, O believer, but take care that thy gladness has its spring in the Lord. Thou hast much cause for gladness in thy God, for thou canst sing with David, God, my exceeding joy. Be glad that the Lord reigneth, that Jehovah is king. Rejoice that he sits upon the throne and ruleth all things. Every attribute of God should become a fresh ray in the sunlight of our gladness. That he is wise should make us glad, knowing as we do our own foolishness. That he is mighty should cause us to rejoice who tremble at our weakness. That he is everlasting should always be a theme of joy when we know that we wither as the grass. That he is unchanging should perpetually yield us a song since we change every hour. That he is full of grace, that he is overflowing with it, and that this grace and covenant he has given to us, that it is ours to cleanse us, ours to keep us, ours to sanctify us, ours to perfect us, ours to bring us to glory. All this should tend to make us glad in him. This gladness in God is as a deep river. We have only as yet touched its brink. We know a little of its clear, sweet, heavenly streams, but onward the depth is great, and the current more impetuous in its joy. The Christian feels that he may delight himself not only in what God is, but also in all that God has done in the past. The Psalms show us that God's people in olden times were wont to think much of God's actions and to have a song concerning each of them. So let God's people now rehearse the deeds of the Lord. Let them tell of his mighty acts and sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Nor let them ever cease to sing, for as new mercies flow to them day by day, so should their gladness and the Lord's loving acts in providence and in grace show itself in continued thanksgiving. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. All right, and into our reading. So we're in 2 Samuel 18, 2 Corinthians 11, Ezekiel 25, and Psalm 73. So 2 Samuel 18. All right, here we go. Then David numbered the people who were with him, and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. And David sent the people out, one third under the hand of Joab, one third under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one third under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I myself will surely go out with you also. But the people said, you should not go out, for if we indeed flee, they will not set their hearts on us. Even if half of us die, they will not set their hearts on us. But now you are worth 10,000 of us, so now it is better that you be ready to help us from the city. Then the king said to them, whatever is good in your sight, I will do. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and thousands. Then the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king commanded all the commanders concerning Absalom. Then the people went out into the field to meet Israel, And the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. And the people of Israel were defeated there before the servants of David. And the slaughter there that day was great, 20,000 men. And the battle there was scattered over the whole countryside. And the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Then Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Now Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, so he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him passed onward. Then a certain man saw it. He told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak." Then Joab said to the man who had told him, "Now behold, you saw him? Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? And I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a belt." So the man said to Joab, "Even if I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not send forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, 'Keep for me the young man Absalom.' Otherwise, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, and there is nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof." Then Joab said, "I will not wait around here for you." So he took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men who carried Joab's armor gathered around and struck Absalom and put him to death. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a deep pit in the forest, and set over him a very great heap of stones. And all Israel fled, each to his tent. Now Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and set up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's valley. For he had said, "I have no son to preserve my name." So he named the pillar after his own name, and it's called Absalom's Monument to this day. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, "Please let me run and proclaim the good news to the king that Yahweh has judged to save him from the hands of his enemies." But Joab said to him, "You are not the man for the good news this day, but you shall proclaim the good news another day. However, you shall not proclaim the good news today, because the king's son has died." Then Joab said to the Cushite, "Go, tell the king what you have seen." So the Cushite bowed to Joab and ran. Now Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said once more to Joab, "But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite." And Joab said, "Why would you run, my son, since you will have no reward for going?" "But whatever happens," he said, "I will run." So he said to him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and passed the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall, and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running by himself. And the watchman called and told the king. And the king said, "If he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth." And he came nearer and nearer. Then the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "Behold, another man running by himself." And the king said, "This one also is bringing good news." And the watchman said, "I see that the running of the first one is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "This is a good man and comes with good news." And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, "Peace." And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, "Blessed is Yahweh your God, who has delivered up the men who lifted up their hands against my lord the king." Then the king said, "Is there peace with the young man Absalom?" And Ahimaaz said, "When Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was." Then the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. Behold, the Cushite arrived, and the Cushite said, "Let my lord the king receive good news, for Yahweh has judged to save you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you." Then the king said to the Cushite, "Is there peace with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "Let the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be as that young man." Then the king trembled and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? Oh, Absalom, my son." All right, 2 Corinthians 11. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you bear this beautifully. For I consider myself in no way inferior to the most eminent apostles. But even if I am unskilled in word, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way we have made this evident to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted, because I proclaimed the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brothers came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need, and in everything I kept and will keep myself from being a burden to you. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be found just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore it is not surprising if his ministers also disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Again I say, let no one think me foolish, but if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I also may boast a little. What I am saying, I am not saying according to the Lord, but as in foolishness in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. For you, being so wise, are bearing the foolish gladly. For you bear it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison. But in whatever respect anyone else is daring, I speak in foolishness. I am just as daring myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's seed? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as if insane. I'm more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, in beatings without numbers, in frequent danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the desolate places, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brothers. I have been in labor and hardship, in many sleepless nights, in starvation and thirst, often hungry, in cold and without enough clothing. Apart from such eternal external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is made to stumble without my burning concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to seize me, and I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and so escaped his hands. And Ezekiel 25. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the sons of Ammon, and prophesy against them, and say to the sons of Ammon, Hear the word of Lord Yahweh. Thus says Lord Yahweh, because you said, Aha, against my sanctuary when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was made desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into exile. Therefore, behold, I am going to give you to the sons of the east for a possession, and they will set their encampments among you and make their dwellings among you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. I will make Rabbah a pasture for camels, and the sons of Ammon a resting place for flocks. Thus you will know that I am Yahweh. For thus says Lord Yahweh, because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet, and were glad with all the scorn of your soul against the land of Israel, therefore, behold, I have stretched out my hand against you, and I will give you for plunder to the nations, and I will cut you off from the peoples, and make you perish from the lands. I will destroy you. Thus you will know that I am Yahweh. Thus says Lord Yahweh, because Moab and Seir say, behold, the house of Judah is like all the nations. Therefore, behold, I am going to open the flank of Moab by its cities which are on its frontiers. The glory of the land, Beth Jeshimoth, Baal-Meon, and Kiriathaim. And I will give it for a possession along with the sons of Ammon to the sons of the east, so that the sons of Ammon will not be remembered among the nations. Thus I will execute judgments on Moab, and they will know that I am Yahweh. Thus says Lord Yahweh, because Edom has acted against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and has incurred grievous guilt and avenged themselves upon them. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom and cut off man and beast from it, and I will lay it waste. From Teman even to Dedan they will fall by the sword. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel. Therefore they will act in Edom according to my anger and according to my wrath. Thus they will know my vengeance, declares Lord Yahweh. Thus says Lord Yahweh, because the Philistines have acted in revenge and have taken vengeance with scorn of soul to bring ruin with everlasting enmity. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines and cut off the Cherethites and cause the remnant of the seacoast to perish. So I will execute great vengeance with wrathful reproofs, and they will know that I am Yahweh when I lay my vengeance on them. And now Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the boastful. I saw the peace of the wicked, for there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, and they are not stricken along with the rest of mankind. Therefore lofty pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulge from fatness. The delusions of their heart overflow. They scoff and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue goes through the earth. Therefore his people return here to his place, and waters of fullness are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure, and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long, and reproved every morning. If I had said, I will recount thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I gave thought to know this, I was troubled in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You caused them to fall to destruction. How they become desolate in a moment. They are completely swept away by terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like an animal before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will lead me, and afterward take me in glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed everyone who is unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have set Lord Yahweh as my refuge, that I may recount all your works. All right, and that is our reading for the day. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I would pray that this time together has lifted you up and buoyed you up and equipped you for your walk, for your Christian walk. Let's pray real quick. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this time together this morning. And Lord, I would pray that this time both would equip and edify myself, but would also equip and edify those who hear, and that would prepare those who are not saved for the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, please watch over us and bless us as we go forward today, and help us to walk as imitators of you and imitators of your Son. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Have a wonderful day. May God bless you. See you.